Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the somewhat delayed release of the podcast. This time, I'm talking to Deanna Devine, who tells a story of what happened to her when she was 14 years old and when things took a somewhat unexpected turn. At the very least, I think her story reminds us once again that all is not as it seems in this reality, and that we do have guides, we do have protectors and angels, whatever you choose to call them, watching over us at all times. Her story gives me faith that we live in an intentional universe, one that deeply has our backs. I'd like to encourage all of you to stay until after the episode's outro, because Deanna has something she wants to share with all of us, and I think it would behoove each and every one of us to enjoy the little snippet of healing and meditation that she's created for us. All right, let's get to it. My conversation with Deanna Devine.
And I was on this bus stop with my friend. We were kind of like skipping last, gym or something like that. And again, like I was living in this valley. So we had all these buses going to the mountains, to Nazareth. And all of a sudden I heard this voice, internal voice that was saying, "You got to go. You got to go, like leave the bus stop." And I was like, "No, I'm not doing that." And this voice started fighting with me. It was really interesting. And it was such a beautiful day in April. It was just like, you know, all we wanted to do is just kind of go home, enjoy ourselves, you know, it's teenagers that like don't, you know, a little carefree. And it got so, so loud. This voice just like started commanding me.
You introduce yourself if you had to get on stage at a conference and there are 1,000 people in the audience and you have to get up there and tell them who you are, how would you do that?
That's a beautiful question. And I feel sometimes we're limited actually to the labels, and I always have a hard time with just language in general. So the labels that are out there that I'm using, I'm a soul guide, I'm a galactic shaman, I'm a metaphysical quantum educator, I'm a hypnotherapist, I'm dance teacher and kundalini activator, and on and on and on. And the labels are really, though, not encompassing the breadth of who really I am. And in one word or two words, I could say I'm very ancient soul. And that's pretty, I think, encompassing everything, because at this point, what I remember and who I am and how long I've been on Earth is so ancient, and before Earth and before this galaxy and from a different universe altogether. Like when you start really zooming out in the totality of who we are, it's not enough to use this language. And we can talk about it later, but I channel what's called light language or source language, and it's a frequency language. And I feel when I express myself in that language, it really starts bringing the frequency in, because the identity that we using, it's you know, it's a label. I mean, for human experience, we need the labels, but they're sometimes not enough. So that's that.
Yes, we need labels for everything, because I think otherwise we get confused. Well, I'm endlessly curious about this. When you were a kid, did you have any idea you'd be doing this kind of work?
Oh, no. I think I was always a curious soul, for sure. I grew up in Soviet Union, so this is very different environment than the United States. So there was more freedom in some ways, surprisingly, because it was a communistic regime. And yet I grew up in Minsk, Belarus at the time. And there was no limits in terms of, like, you know, how we keep children really safe, so to speak. And like, I can't even imagine my kid at the age of 6 taking a bus all the way around big capital city and no one even asking, like, girl, what are you doing here? But I did that at age of six. And so I was curious in a way that I was observing everyone and I was learning, and I take those buses and just wanted to really see what's around the city. And
let me ask you, it sounds like as a six-year-old, it was totally normal for you to be on the bus alone. Is that true? Like, you're independent?
It was. Yeah, it was. It was like no one would ask. I looked always older and very mature. And so I think there was that level of independence, and my mom always trusted me. And that's been my story always. Like, and then we moved to Israel and I came here at the age of 15. So I've always done things that maybe were a little ahead of my age, but I didn't necessarily have this connection to spirit in the way that I understood it. I know that I was courageous, and I was really loving the intricacies and details of my environment. And as we moved from Soviet Union to Israel, like, I really savored the new level of freedom, the experiences I was having, and it was more in like agricultural type of place and fields. And I lived in the valley right next to Nazareth. So I know, like, with Jesus... you know, was living, and like I was walking these lands, but not, again, not fully appreciating where I am, but very present and loving life always. I was always in gratitude since I was really young. So I think all of this developed for me later when I was 20 years old, and I can tell the story what happened.
Well, you know, that's interesting, because before we started recording, I was talking about growing up overseas. And now you grew up in Russia, mm-hmm. and then Israel, and then you came to the States. You know, for you as a kid, were you thinking, okay, what are my parents thinking? What is happening? Why are we moving everywhere? Or were you excited about it?
I was very excited. I think part of me loves to travel, and I've been to over 50 countries, and as an adult as well. I love to learn everything foreign and kind of savor different experiences and perspectives. I've been around the world like three times. I've lived in South America, Central America, and other parts of the world, Australia. So there's something about perspectives and learning from third world countries, from the people and the simplicity of life. And so, yeah, I think like you know, this lifetime is, you know, world, you know, citizen, makes sense, because I, now that I remember more of my galactic lives as well, prior to Earth, I was an ambassador. So I love traveling always and learning about others and being a, you know, politician in that way.
Oh, yeah. I'm endlessly enchanted by human beings just because they're so complex mm-hmm. and different, and everyone has a different story. And I want to hear all those stories. So I love that. I love your adventurous spirit and your desire to, you know, go out in the world and seek knowledge and satisfy your curiosity. So incredibly beautiful. And I also love when you brought up frequency earlier, and I'm thinking about you living, you know, in Russia and then living in Israel, then coming to the States, and then all these other places that you've lived. And I'm sure you would agree with me, because I've had these experiences. You know, I lived in Portland. I live in Santa Fe now. I lived in Bellingham. I've lived in outside of Chicago, and every single place for me, like just bodily, psychically, had a different frequency. And I just noted that. And I told someone, Portland, you know, because it rains so much and it's just rainy, that it is the city or the land of the unconscious, because it's always overcast. It's always dark. It's always raining. And there is, you just go inward. Everything goes inward there. And there's a deep sense of the land fostering dreaming, just deep dreaming. And then I moved to Santa Fe and I was like, holy cannoli. You know, it's different here. The frequency is bright and it's sunny and the land is like outrageously vibrant and beautiful and like exulting in itself. And like, look at me, look at how pretty I am. And so I think you'd agree that every single, you know, land or space or place, everything has a different frequency and we can feel it if we try.
Absolutely. And actually, to your point, like one of the things that I do is I get called to do activations with the land around the world. And this is not kind of my main job, but I would say my most important job, because I feel the land sometimes also needs recalibration. So for instance, in June, I was in Turkey and I was called to the land 2 years prior. And there was this very ancient land. There's like these underground cities and caverns and caves. And that like the like before I even arrived to the land, it already starts talking to me about what it is and what's the history and what, you know, also programs that have been embedded in the land because of where it is territorially. So for those who might be familiar or not, like the whole planet is alive, right? It's biological in nature. And she too has meridians like we do in this body. Like we have certain meridians, node points, right? Like nervous system points. So I get called to activate, like I do an acupuncture, so to speak, to those points. And there is like ley lines. So there's the meridians and then the actual little points that need to be activated. There's like the main chakras of the planet. And there's also energy flow, just like we have Kundalini, which is energy through our body. So does the earth. So absolutely. And then it also aligns with your specific astrological chart. So some places might also be more aligned to who you are. Like some people might love Portland, right? Some people actually love to be in what I call the shadow, right? And in the water and like in dream and pull a lot of that mystical energy out of the subconscious. And some need to be in the more bright areas, right? For me, like I know when in New Jersey, where I am in the wintertime, it gets really dark. After some time, it really gets hard for me. Like I need to go to Miami or somewhere in Florida and get some sun because I'm both. Like I love the inward process, but I also need my sun. I need the sun codes. I work a lot with the sun. So it really depends on the individual and exactly what they need out of life and how they interact with life. And so we need to accept the fact that we are very interconnected with this planet and we're not outside of it. It is going through massive changes right now, just like we are collectively. We're going through a lot of cosmic shifts. Besides the fact that we're going through a photonic belt closer to the galactic center than we ever have, we are also experiencing a lot of solar activity, as you know. Like, so everyone is experiencing different symptoms, sometimes, you know, physically, like really tired or sluggish, all of that. That's because we are receiving a lot of light right now into this, you know, the planetary ecosystem. And just like we are purging and releasing what's not serving us, like these old programs, old systems, so is the Earth, Mother Earth. She too is purging. So there's a lot of earthquake activity right now going on, a lot of volcanoes going off. So, and then you're looking at what's called Schumann resonance, right? The heartbeat of the Earth versus us. And I post a lot about it. I always see how, like, if there's a big activation going on, let's say new moon, full moon, or like we have these comets going through our system in October, like lots of activity, interstellar objects like Atlas, we get an activated and upgraded. And then next day, the Schumann resonance like peaks. Like, it's just incredible, like, how everything is interconnected. So with that, it's just so incredible to be alive. And no matter where we are on Earth, I always say we do grid work. Like our mere light and like who we are shines in that area. So if you're meant to live in Santa Fe or you're meant to stay, you know, in New Jersey, wherever you are, like there is definitely some sort of light work you're doing in the area. So sometimes we're not even aware that we're doing it, but we are.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I just a couple things I'd love to respond with. I just interviewed a woman who's the inaugural poet laureate for Birmingham, Alabama, and she is African-American, and she spent time on a plantation writing her first book. And we were talking about reconciliation, but her miracle was she saw a ghost basically leave the plantation one night at twilight. She was wearing a yellow apron, very elderly African-American woman. And she walked out of the doors and walked off into the fields. And she and I started talking about what the land had witnessed there over the hundreds of years and the brutality and the horror. And, you know, I don't think a lot of us know. I mean, yes, for me, the earth is very alive and very much wants to be recognized as sacred and wants to co-create with us. It wants us, is like waiting. Like, what is taking so long? Please co-create with me. And I don't think we fully appreciate that when those brutalities happen, when, you know, slavery happened and all the horrific injustice and hurt and terror happened, the land soaked a lot of that up just by virtue of all of it happening there. And so the land is doing, as far as I'm concerned, a lot of heavy lifting, you know, taking all of these energies and holding them for us, but also hopefully, I always hope, recycling them for us and changing them into something that is life-giving and beautiful. What do you think of that?
Yeah, that's part of it. Also, we have to remember that there's not a lot of Native Americans, especially in the United States. And I find some of the land has still some spirits on the land that haven't left because of, you know, atrocities that happened. So I have had experiences where I had to actually release some of these spirits and kind of work with the chief of the tribes, like those of us who are kind of more tuned into beyond the veil and know what to do, we get guided. So there is definitely that you know, aspect of suffering that has happened for eons here. But I do believe we are switching right now, you know, into a different frequency bandwidth. And Earth is ready. She's ready to move with those of us who are ready for kind of the next evolution. Many of us call it New Earth. So, you know, it's a different timeline where we finally transmute all of those energies and move forward planetarily into the next phase of evolution. Again, not everyone is ready for it. So we are in this really interesting train station where we get to choose our timelines. And some people are still choosing to stay in suffering and really get polarized by the activity that's happening, the stuff in politics. You know, there's still war going on in many parts of the world, including Israel, that just, you know, calming things down right now. Hopefully that sticks. But I've lived in that, you know, through the war. I was there during Gulf War. I've lived through a lot of that polarization. So it's very familiar to me. And in many ways that awoke me, because I needed to see that, to choose another path and come to this place of compassion and unity consciousness, where you no longer, you know, tick for tack, but like, let's be friends, let's love each other. And this vicious cycle of war and generational war really over land is unfortunate. And there's no one who's right or wrong here. It's just the circumstances too. And unfortunately, Middle East has a lot of that energy, and it's very ancient and needs to be kind of elevated to a new level of consciousness. So that is happening. But I am positive. I think those of us who are having this conversation, we know that there is another way. And I think we're moving towards that. And it might take time. You know, not everyone is going to hop on the train that is ready for the highest frequency of love and light. You know, we also need to look at the shadows, and we need to look at all the horrible things that are still happening. You know, the brutalities, the child trafficking, there's a lot of shadow things going on in the world, and we can't ignore that. We can't just put pink glasses on and say, yeah, we've done it. Like, we have to acknowledge that and do that type of transmutation.
Thank you for that. Thank you. I also, you know, I bet a lot of my audience has never heard of Schumann resonance. Schumann resonance, which, Schumann, you know, resonance. Yeah, Schumann resonance. And I think probably most of them did not know that the earth has a heartbeat, and it is fascinating.
Yeah. So Schumann was like a physicist, and I think he basically in the 60s measured the rhythm of the earth, and it's like 7.38, if I'm not mistaken, but it's about 7 hertz. What's incredible is that when you meditate and you really drop into this coherent state where your brain and your heart synchronizes, they've already measured that when you really drop into in brain waves into theta, that's that REM state where your eyes are moving and you're dreaming, it's 8 hertz and below. So you are dropping when your left and right brain synchronizes and you deepen theta, you are resonating about 7 hertz, just like the earth. So what happens is this ionic atmospheric noise of EMF and all the things that are happening is just back to inward versus our process, right? It's just too loud. When you go in, you're actually getting closer to the frequency of the earth. So you ground in with her and it gets quieter. And so when I do my meditations, I love to ground people right away. Like I bring them to, you know, the heart of the earth and like drop in. And the minute you start dropping in with your visualization, just like, you know, imagining like your heart is going down through the soil, through the rocks, through the heart of Mother Earth, just notice like this immediate shift and quietness in your field. And that has to do with that we basically synchronize in with the heartbeat of the earth.
Beautiful. Oh my goodness, beautiful. Well, I'd love to ask you the second question, which this is the second question, okay? Did you grow up in a religious household? What did that look like? And how has that evolved over time for you as you've gotten older?
So I did not grow up in a religious household because it was Soviet times. Actually, religion was not allowed to be practiced at all. And it was interesting when my parents decided to go to Israel. And again, it was kind of like forced on us because this is 1990. So it was Reagan administration and we had this plan to go to the United States. My uncle made it. And then Reagan changed, I don't know, some politics and the borders got closed. And then my parents had to pivot. So they decided to go to Israel. In that moment, they were like, oh, well, we don't know Hebrew. How are we going to go there? So that was my first time actually getting at around the age of 9, 10. I got introduced to the synagogue. And it was the first time my parents were like, oh, it's going to be, you know, something you need to learn. And these are some things you have to practice because you're a Jew. And I was like, oh, well, we never practiced that before. What is Hanukkah? Like, what is holidays? So when we came to Israel, so a lot of it was more like traditional. Like I learned the holidays through, you know, just being in the country, through, you know, having a foster kind of family that helped us in school. It was still pretty secular. We learned the Bible, or it's more like Torah, is more historical book. So it was still very kind of high level for me. And some aspects of it I've loved, some not so much. But where it became really interesting, actually, when I came to the United States when I was about 15, and I had to go to Jewish school because my parents were not here. I lived with my grandparents and I couldn't go to public school. And this is the first time I actually had to learn all the, you know, Jewish school, all of the religious things and all the different classes. And so I would be like there all day. And a lot of things actually did not resonate. Like I remember I was like the one who spoke Hebrew, but the prayers didn't really sync up with me. There was like something always missing. And I think part of it was because I was very like secular mindset. I also had very inquisitive mind and I could pick where it was like distortions in things or behaviors of people because I was already kind of having the bigger perspective. And when they were talking about us versus them, you know, like that terminology, that didn't sink in for me because I was like, I don't see us as chosen people of God. Like I just, there was a lot of like weird things in religion that I was just like not resonating with. And it felt like it was kind of more enforced than my own connection. And so when I went to college here, it was actually my sophomore year that I took Zen and Buddhism class. It was this incredible Japanese professor. And he had this beautiful tea ceremony house on campus. And his wife was teaching these beautiful green tea ceremonies. And he himself was teaching like a Buddhist meditation. And that's where it started for me, where, you know, in meditation, you start connecting with that, you know, the inner process, connecting to your heart, connecting to your inner connection to the source. And I also love those green tea ceremonies because I don't know if you've ever seen them, but they come out and kimono, it's so precise and it's like there's so much presence and every little thing she was doing, it was like you're mesmerized in the process itself. And it's all about like the ritual and the presence of it. And it was like this energy that was there. And that was the first time that I was like, whoa, I'm feeling something here. And so I remember I called my grandmother and I was like, Grandma, I think I'm a Jubu. She's like, what's a Jubu? She's like, I think I'm Jewish by roots. Like I appreciate my lineage and, you know, my grandparents went through Holocaust, all of it to appreciate where I come from. I think I'm a Buddhist by wings. And that was like a little thing. It was like a joke. Like I'm a Buddhist by wings. My wings are much bigger than this, you know, religion. And I think from there, it was, you know, around that age, I went back to Israel and my mom took me to my first Reiki initiation. She really got into Reiki while I was away. And that's when I had my first activation. It was at the Galilee Sea where, you know, Jesus actually did all the miracles, converting the water into wine, all of that. So it was really auspicious in some ways, now that I think about it. And that's where I really, like, I remember opened my eyes and my sister was part of this process too. And she was younger and we looked at each other and I could feel the currents of energy running through my body. And I was like, whoa, what's happening? That's when I really started seeing the world in a different place because I started feeling it, right? So it's like not no longer just through your mind, but through the feeling and you want to put your hands on everything. And then just kind of went on from there. So I'm actually appreciative that I didn't have the religious full background because I had the questioning, right? It just always didn't like settle fully. And I still appreciate Judaism. Listen, the kids, we still do Hanukkah and some of the holidays that we love for them to have some sort of, you know, sense of ritual and tradition. But we also take them to festivals and have and do, you know, do all the practices and very shamanic. I think my kind of foundation has been very shamanic since then. And that's wonderful because I want them to really connect to the essence of who they are. Beyond the limitation of religion.
Oh, wow. Okay. What a story. I just want to ask, were you shocked when your mom was like, I've been studying Reiki? Were you shocked?
I don't think I really understood what it is, really. Until I had that experience. And when I had the experience, it was like my eyes lit up. It was like I was waiting for it because it was literally that summer after sophomore year in college when I was already kind of doing all these Buddhist practices and those ceremonies and in some ways like maybe preparing for it. So when that happened, it just all started making sense. And just the fact that it was Reiki and here I am like starting with this Japanese professor, it just all made sense, like somehow it's connected to Japan. And actually later in my travels, I made it to Japan and I really loved it there. Yeah, it's gorgeous. It's very, that Zen presence is something to learn from. And so, yeah, it just, I don't know, I feel like it was divine timing. I think I was ready for it. Maybe I wasn't as ready before, but I at that moment it was just like, yes, this is exactly what I need to experience right now. So I'm very grateful for my mother. she never thought how far I'm going to take it, though. Because pretty much from that point on, it was me always looking for more and experiencing more, and then, you know, becoming a Reiki master, and then went into this whole shamanic route. And then after all this work with plant medicine in, you know, jungles of Peru and you name it, I've experienced it all, because I was, you know, as you heard, I like experience, because for me, you know, all of us learn differently. Not everyone needs exactly the experience I've had. But for me, the way I think I am, like, experience makes it real. And then through experience, I learn, and then it becomes my absolute truth. And when it becomes absolute truth, and I say, well, yeah, it's like this cake recipe I tried, that one is the best. So I'm going to go and tell the world about it, because that one I experienced myself, and I can really speak for it. And so I did that. I've experienced all the different plant medicines work. You know, that's how I made it to Central America, South America, you know, doing a lot of ayahuasca and other, you know, mushroom medicine, all kinds of plant medicines. And that was a beautiful journey until actually the medicine grandmother graduated me out. She was like, enough, you've learned everything you need to know. And now it's time for you, you know, just to go on your own. And that's where I had the experience a year later with light language, which we can talk about. So lots of beautiful things in a journey. And I'm learning that there is this moment of like awe. Like even today, I've been on this journey awake since the age of 20. So it's been about 25 plus years. And there's still so much to uncover. Like we scratching the surface of the human experience, and we just forgot. And that's really the premise of my book, Mastering Quantum Creation. Like I broke it into three parts: remembering, expansion, and mastery. And we forgot that we actually masters. We are quantum creators. Like we have all this knowledge, and part of this incarnation cycle is for us to have this, what I call multidimensional amnesia. Every time we come in, we forget, and we kind of like relearning. And at some point, it's no longer learning per se, it's really re-remembering. And so the knowledge is all there, the gifts are all there. And it's just all these belief systems that we put on ourselves, like, oh, I'm not clairvoyant. Oh, I don't have this. I don't have that. And I, you know, went through all of it. And I was like, I don't, you know, the throat for many of us, like I can't speak my truth. I'm not a singer. I'm this and that, like all these negative belief programs we put on ourselves. And as we break through them, sometimes breakdown has to happen to break through. When you're on the other side, you're like, wow, that was a beautiful lesson. And now I'm reclaiming my power. I'm reclaiming my gifts, and I'm remembering all of it. So it didn't come for me from birth, but I feel it's been cultivating over the years. And I've been collecting pieces of myself through space and time, because I've been remembering everything, my galactic lives, my earthly lives. And I take other people on these journeys. Like I do quantum healing hypnosis, where you take people into their past lives and beyond. I do now Akashic records. So I look at their soul stream and where they came from. So it's been collecting all these beautiful tools to help others also remember. And that's very empowering, because that gives you really perspective as, oh, wow, like this lifetime is just where I'm learning these lessons, but I've also learned all this other stuff before. And also sometimes got traumatized in the process. So I have to, you know, heal that. That's part of it too.
Oh my gosh. I love everything you just said, but I really, really love that you brought in your book, because I was thinking, I got to ask her about her book, but you brought it up before I could do that. You know, when you thought about putting this into the world, was it scary for you? Were you nervous? Were you, or did you just feel like it was a divine mandate and you're like, I'm just going to do this?
It was definitely a divine mandate. it was more like, it's time. And your voice needs to be heard. And I think you and I were talking about, like, first I became like a podcaster during pandemic, I ran this group on this app called Clubhouse and started growing. And I was helping people to activate their voices, their channeling abilities and light language. And then it was time for me to move from that into, you know, having podcast. And I think as I started strengthening my voice and be more comfortable with it, then it was time for, I was like, okay, now I have to actually sit down and condense all these, you know, experiences into a book. And I think that was the hardest part because there's so many experiences and so much knowledge I've collected that it was more like, how do I condense it? And I think I did as good as I could because a lot of people like the fact that I brought a lot of pieces of information, but also weaved it into my own story, because I think stories really matter. And because there's so much incredible information out there. I mean, think about it. In ancient mystery schools, everything was very sacred and the information could only be passed to initiates. It wasn't as available. The beautiful age we live in, we have internet, right? Now everything's out in the open in the way it never has, but it's also overwhelming. People I know coming to me and they're like, where do I even go? There's just so much. And what do I trust, right? So there has to be this sort of like strong sense of discernment of like what aligns with you, what doesn't align with you. And you know, so much incredible also scientific research in quantum, you know, the quantum physics is doing quantum mechanics. Now there's new scientific research in quantum biology. So I try to describe my understanding of nature of reality, but also through science. So we have a bit of that bridge between esoteric knowledge and science, because I think both are relevant. And sometimes we do have those two hemispheres of a brain. We need the logic to ground the experience and also talk about the experience itself and meditations. And so make it interactive. And that's how I try to do the book. After each chapter is a meditation, is contemplation. So you're not just reading my story, but then you also contemplate it about yours as well. Yeah. So I think we all in the process of it was fun. As I finished the book and I was still working on formatting it, one morning I woke up and Spirit was like, 300 pages are nice, but not many people are reading these days. So you need to create a tool and it's time for you to create your Oracle deck. And so that's what happened. And in 3 weeks, I downloaded the whole deck. So I would actually love to open the card from the deck for the audience and see what the message is for us for this conversation. That would be fun.
Love it.
That's a really beautiful card.
Oh, it is. It's gorgeous. Oh my God.
So you have this woman, she's kind of looking into the portal, and this is called, a lot of my cards have like Egyptian iconography and light language in them. This one is called the Kaibi Shift, and which is meaning becoming your future self. Your higher self exists beyond linear time, already whole and awakened. Step into that timeline and feel it in your body.
Beautiful.
And that's so powerful. And I've been experiencing that a lot where I feel like where we are right now, a lot of us are remembering and we're also pulling these aspects through space and time into now. It's like we're doing this major soul retrieval in a way that we've never had before. Like a lot of people, we remember in, you know, their lives in Atlantis or some other lives. And all of it is coming into here now, including connecting to our future self that is already having all the qualities and has manifested and created what they desire and the future life they want and the future life for the planet. So it's personal and collective. And so as we also merge and pull in that future self, we also propel in ourselves into that highest timeline. And I feel right now it's happening a lot. Like there's a lot of glimpses of all these realities and it's just really fascinating.
I love all that. And that card is gorgeous. Oh my goodness. Wow. And so relevant with where my life is right now. So thank you.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, remembering you, we all becoming, right? We learning and becoming, and it's this evolution that's happening. Like my subtitle of the book is Awaken the Phoenix Within. So it's like we are phoenixing in some ways. We are going through the fire, burning through what's not longer serving us and creating a new version of ourselves. So it's like a resurrection process. In ancient times, they literally had rituals of resurrection. So like when we talk about Yeshua, Christ, the resurrection process was something that actually they studied, they seen started through the mystery schools. So it was a known process, and they had many rituals where they would actually go into these underground caverns, chambers, and they would stay there and like meditate and take some, you know, blue lotus or whatever, some other psychedelics they had, and they would connect to the source and the void and pull all this information in and then step into the next version. So that's what's happening constantly. I think we just like really pushed in many ways by the universe, by circumstances in our life, by our relationships to reevaluate. I think we're in this really interesting reset point collectively and personally. I see this happening for everyone. And I'm sure you resonate with this, Kirsten, too. It's like, take a moment, right? Deep breath in, pause. Like, what is serving you right now? And what needs to go? And what new version are you becoming? And what that future self feels like. Because in so many of my meditations I do, actually, I like to take people into the quantum field, into this field of information where everything exists, and connect to their future selves and merge with it. It's really powerful.
Wow. Gorgeous. Yes. 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 Everybody should do that. Oh my God. Well, I'd love to ask you the main question of the podcast, which is, I would so appreciate if you would share, you know, you can share one story, you can share two stories of something magical or miraculous, maybe even mysterious that's happened in your life. I'd be so grateful.
Yeah, I was thinking when you asked me before the podcast, there's so many stories to share, but I think the one I will share, the first one where I realized like there's a purpose of why I'm here, and I'm guarded, and is what happened to me in Israel when I was 14 years old. I actually was on a bus stop. This is 1994. And things, of course, in Israel have changed since then. Now, like we've heard a lot about like bus bombings and terrorist attacks, all the things, horrific things happened. But before 1994, we only experienced like Gulf War. We haven't really experienced that type of level of terrorism. And I was on this bus stop with my friend. We were kind of like skipping last, like, I don't know, gym or something like that. And again, like I was living in this valley. So we had all these buses going to the mountains, to Nazareth. And all of a sudden I heard this voice, internal voice that was saying, you got to go. You got to go, like leave the bus stop. And I was like, no, I'm not doing that. And this voice starts fighting with me. It was really interesting. And it was such a beautiful day in April. It was just like, you know, all we wanted to do is just kind of go home, enjoy ourselves, you know, it's teenagers that like don't, you know, a little carefree. And it got so, so loud. This voice just like started commanding me. And luckily I succumbed to it. I grabbed my friend and we crossed the street. And next thing I wouldn't fully understand what happened, but essentially the bus stop blew up. And it was just a terrible situation. It was the first actually terrorist bus bombings that happened in Israel in April 1994. And this voice saved us. And that's really started my internal, I would say, questioning of reality and transcendence, who I am and why this happened to me. But now I understand this was my highest self. This was, you know, all these guardians and in, you know, my support teams around me that just were making sure it wasn't my time to go for sure. It took very, I would say actually writing the book made me fully heal it. I didn't realize that writing about it will surface it up for me again. but I felt it was important to mention. I call those like three phases of my life. Usually in actually a lot of shamanic practices, we talk about this stages of transformation. So the scorpion, which is like the shadows, then from the scorpion, you move into the eagle, which is where the eagle kind of flies over the situation. And the scorpion, you kind of on the bottom of the lake, it's really dense. Then you move out. And then the phoenix is the one that's fully steps in its power, transmutes and like, and so I stepped into the phoenix, but those years were the scorpion years where I had to, I guess, face all that darkness and all that death and, you know, the war and all of those things. And, you know, in sixth grade, go gas masks to school. I mean, interesting things were happening. But that, yeah, that bus bombing, I think, was almost like in the moment we experienced trauma. I'm sure many can relate, especially in childhood. And this is what I help many to do, is that like we freeze that soul piece because it's just so much to process that we don't know how to deal with it. So it's almost like that memory becomes frozen. Like we remember parts of it, but not the whole picture. And it's so important to go actually back into that moment, whatever that was for you, like identify the trauma and then go back to that age. Where did it really start? Because what's happening now that I understand how nature of reality works and like soul pieces, we literally, it's like energy. Like, you know, sometimes you open your computer and your browser has all these tabs open. And you're like, oh my God, it's like really having a hard time processing it all. Sometimes you have to reset, reboot, close your computer. That happens to me a lot, right? So this is what happens when we have too many tabs open. We literally leaking and draining our energy systems because we have these other things that are open through space and time. And a lot of modalities that I'm doing right now, I'm helping to close those tabs because if they leak in, you don't even know that you leak in. And when you close it, it's like, ooh, wow, like, yeah, something now is like giving me more energy. It's interesting how quantum we are. We don't even realize. And so that situation was still open. And when I was fully writing about it and going deeper into it, I realized that, oh, wow, I was still leaking energy. I was still harmonized in the moment in time. I still felt responsible for those people that were on the bus stop. I felt responsible. Or, you know, my friend's sister who was talking to us, and then she survived, but she had, you know, third degree burns. Beautiful girl that went through so many plastic surgeries. I mean, how those lives were impacted and we avoided it. And so it was beautiful because my childhood friend, and we kind of been like off and on, I felt like sharing with her. I sent her the book recently. And she's now here. She lives in the United States and she read it. And she actually told me she it was so healing for her too, because she's still been waking up from some nightmares. And I didn't even know that. We never talked about it. So it's important to recognize those moments, you know, those miraculous moments, but also moments where there's deep trauma or circumstances that are beyond our control, and be really grateful for, you know, the being alive in many ways. So I am grateful for living that moment, but also that moment doesn't define me anymore or what happened. And if anything, it makes me stronger and so grateful that, you know, I have these guardian angels and my higher self that has been vocal and I've been listening to my higher self. So very deeply, I've been really guided. So I encourage everyone to really listen and not, if there are things that are uncomfortable, sometimes we want to like hide them, you know, like shove the dust under the rug and not look at it. And it's important right now for us to, you know, look at it even when we don't want to.
Thank you for sharing that story. And you know, one of the things I appreciate about it is you were starting to write this book, you're talking about this experience in the book, and through sharing it through the written word, all of this healing happens in directions that you didn't expect. Really gorgeous, including with your friend who was at the, that you didn't know was still suffering and still having nightmares. And what an incredible, like, just the gifts continuing on. What I also appreciate is that you know, you talk about your higher self, and it seems like you have this relationship that is very respectful and very, I don't know, reciprocal and collaborative and wonderful. And I was thinking about my relationship with my higher self, and it's more like very salty, and I'm very stubborn. And my higher self is like, this one over here is a turd. Because I'm always, you know, I'm like, I'm not listening to you. I'm not listening. And literally, you know, sometimes I've described it so many times on this show that it feels like there's a monkey on my back, and the monkey's like, I'm not going anywhere. So, you know, the sooner that you give in, the sooner we can all move on and do what needs to happen. But I'm very, very good at putting it off and ignoring it. But not only that, complaining a lot to my higher self and saying,
funny.
You know, just being, like, whatever, I'm busy right now. You know, what do you want from me? And the funny thing is that I know, and my higher self knows, that this is all a show and that I'm going to give up eventually. And so we go through this dance every time, but somehow I get this weird satisfaction from it, which I don't think is entirely healthy, but I'll talk to my therapist about it tomorrow.
Well, the thing is, the way I see it is that what's so special about being a human is that we really get to experience the ego here. We get to experience the individuation in a way that maybe we couldn't have necessarily in other, you know, star systems that we came from. And that's the beauty of it, right? Because each soul carries its unique signature and its unique expression. So the ego is, because it doesn't remember right away, it wants to control its individuation. It wants things in a certain way. And this is also what it's comfortable with. We have to remember, we also have different parts of our brains. So like, we also operate in this primordial brain, which equals to safety and survival of the fetus. Like if you think about the cave days, right? You knew that there's a lion running around somewhere out there. And if you go out there, there's danger, right? So you always pick the safe path to pick berries and come back and grab them. But then one day they dried out and you panic and you're like, oh my God, I have to go into the unknown now. That equals danger. So, but we developed beyond the cave days now. Now there's a prefrontal cortex, and this is kind of our crown chakra, is like third eye. We connect. This is where the highest self connection happens. The pineal gland, which is a tiny gland in the middle of our brain, is kind of the radio station, the transmitter of information and receiver of information. And unfortunately, when we are operating in this primordial brain, it doesn't even give energy to connect to the pineal gland. So many of us have a hard time, I know some of my clients, of even seeing pictures right away or trusting the pictures. Like sometimes, you know, when I do quantum healing hypnosis, they're like, well, maybe I'm going to make up things. I mean, is that even real? And I always say, anything you can imagine is real, and you just need to trust it. So I like the analogy of, like, imagine driving a car, right? And so here you are, a driver, and your higher self is the passenger, but it's always there. So you always kind of drive in together. So it's never really separate. It's just sometimes you're like, okay, it's just the passenger. But sometimes higher self actually needs to step in and be the driver, and you need to be the passenger. But you don't want to give up being the driver. So a lot of it is actually, for me, you said I have a good relationship. Yeah, because I developed that relationship. And that 14-year-old girl was really fighting that relationship. And thank God she listened. She kind of was like, something is going on here. Someone knows here something that she doesn't. And thank God she listened. But today it's such a different process, because I am channeling. I stepped into learning how to step out of my driver position into the passenger and allow the driver to come in. I'm still very present. I'm very conscious, but I know this other part of me a bigger part of me knows much more than I do, and it can bring in information and energy that is way beyond my little self here. And so when you start developing this connection and this relationship between free will and divine will, it is a dance. It's totally a dance. It's a partnership. So it's, and sometimes, like I said, it's a salty partnership. My partnership got better, but I've been, you know, cultivating this partnership and releasing the stubbornness and stepping more and deeper into the surrender of that known. And sometimes it's hard. Don't get me wrong. We're still human. Sometimes I freak out. I have my moments. Absolutely. And I recognize them. I have my days. And also feeling all the emotions, right? The full spectrum of what we can experience here. Like the emotions are energy too. And we just need, I think a lot of it is just about awareness. It's like, it's okay if one day you're waking up and you're feeling crappy and you're just in your scorpion moment, and then you can shift. You know, you can get out of bed, start working out or whatever, dance around, however you can raise your frequency and vibration and shift to a different state. So knowing where your state is and scanning yourself and being really honest with yourself is the real beautiful start of this complex but beautiful relationship with yourself. I think where it gets a little more interesting is when people don't even have this relationship, where they don't have the internal dialogues, when they're so disconnected, they don't even know there is a relationship there. And unfortunately, many have been there and now slowly started waking up, especially, you know, during pandemic, everyone was forced indoors and they had to all of a sudden learn, oh, whoa, like how can I be with myself? Who is this me? And start questioning, right? Like what makes you aware when you start asking, who am I? What am I doing here? What's my soul purpose? Right? Those are like the big questions that everyone comes to me with, right? And the deeper you start digging, the more interesting it gets.
I hope you all enjoyed another reminder this time that we do not walk alone in this life, that angels guide us, that spirit guides watch over us, and that our higher selves are always present and ready to give advice. I know I really enjoyed my conversation with Deanna, and so I encourage each and every one of you to click on the links in the episode show notes and do a deeper dive on this beautiful human being who's here to help us all understand that in fact, we have lots and lots of energies and lots of things that have our backs. So click on those links and check out Deanna and the work she's doing in the world. Thanks so much to all of you who listen. I really do appreciate the notes, the texts, the messages that tell me that I'm doing a good job, that you appreciate hearing what I'm putting into the world. This is where I ask each and every one of you for a rating or a review. Wherever you find this podcast of mine, if you would consider leaving one of those, I'd be ever so grateful. Thank you for listening. And here's my one request. Be like Deanna. Understand that you're in partnership with this creation, with this reality, with those angels and those entities and those beings that only want the best for us, that have our backs. And if we're lucky, we can hear them or understand their nudges and their promptings for the path that we should follow, for the things that we might want to bring into the world. After all, they can be the inspiration in some cases. So be like Deanna and understand that those beings are ever present, that they have our backs, and that they witness our lives and witness our pain and witness our wonderful things, the things that actually go right, that make us excited to wake up every day and jump into the world. We're never alone, and they're always there, watching over us so that we can bring our particular brand of beauty into the world. See you next time for the next podcast, and I'll try not to be late. Sorry, this week kind of got away from me, but I'm going to do better next time. And that's all we can ask of one another, isn't it?
that we each and every time learn from our mistakes, and that next time we show up brighter and with more beauty than ever before.
Yeah, I would love to share a little moment of grounding for us and feeling into what light language is for those who might not know. Light language is basically quantum language or the language of the heart, I call it. So when we listen to language, we try to translate it right with the mind, no matter what language it is. This is about just feeling and not really understanding, and see what it stirs within you. You know, so I invite you to close your eyes wherever you are, preferably not while you're driving, and just taking a deep breath into your heart and exhaling out, just come into this present moment and just scanning how you feel right now. If there's any resistance in your field, just breathing into that place and exhaling out with your mouth open. And invite you to visualize a tunnel of light under your feet. And this tunnel is like a triangle. It's going down and down through the rocks, through the soil, all the way to this plasmatic core of this planet of Mother Earth. And taking this moment to just come to this place of presence, of grounding, feeling the connection you have in this moment, this beautiful energy of the Mother Earth. And you can imagine her as though she is an old woman or a young woman, and she's coming forward to you and she's greeting you.
Receive the message.
Welcome, child.
Thank you, volunteering and being here in this moment and now.
Stuatia ma remember chumbaya ia watia shi kutunuaia. You've chosen your experiences in this moment and whatever transitions you're going through, ushukuatia numa tia tia watia shua. They're here to teach you umbua. Umbushuai, how to expand, how to be umbuai in your true essence, in your true heart. Umbuatia ushuaia. Umbushtumbaikia tuata, feeling your light in your field right now. Ushuata, I'm feeling the presence of the mother. She's giving you this beautiful big hug. I'm feeling all that love from her.
Shtarunumaya chia kukuatiamu ratindashtia kwa.
She's inviting you to open up and trust and surrender.
Ushtuhuai hatua naya kia turunuma turuma.
Even when it gets uncomfortable,
ushtu hayana, ushukua ia mua ia ua ia ka, shtukurunumai anusuata.
And imagine as though now you're opening another triangle of light and moving up and up through the stars, all the way to the black hole, to the central sun of this galaxy. And seeing yourself in this beautiful diamond light. You are standing inside this diamond, this tetrahedron, as above, so below, grounded and connected.
Urtuati and all your ancestors, your star family, everyone is coming into this moment and now. Ushuhuaya, natumbaya, nakinaratiar. Ishahyanu, ambushuatan, your beautiful diamond of light is filling with this rainbow frequencies, this golden light and sparkles. And you feel supported in all the chakras and all dimensions of existence. You feel in strong connection in your earth star, in your soul star. And all the information, all everything is available for you. All your gifts are here. And remember this moment of arrival. It's all information, all the knowledge is always with you. Ushumai hanuarani katish tukua handa. Mustu liratule la tia tundula la likia tutstuat tiat tutstu umbuai. Afua, afua, afua. Stui nia nakua. Taking a deep breath into your heart and putting your hands on your heart. Taking this moment to tell yourself, I thank you. I love you. I thank you. I love you. I thank you. I love you. And seeing how this energy, this beautiful golden energy is passing through every cell of your being, activating every organ. And your whole body is illuminated in this beautiful golden light. And when you're ready, you can rub your hands, put your hands on your face and feel that energy. Just kind of give yourself this beautiful activation, activating, yeah. Parts of your body, your throat, speaking your truth. Yes. Grounding it in, into the now. Because embodiment, like being in the body, in this beautiful vehicle we got all here, is the most important thing. Take care of it.